Good afternoon, folks. This is Carolyn Evers, and I would like to, first of all, thank you all for being out there, for hearing this message, whether you're listening to me live or you're playing the archives. I think today we're going to have an interesting show, and if you looked at the information that we put up on the website, something that caught my attention today was two deadly quakes that hit Rwanda in the Congo. And so we're going to talk about that, but the first thing, well, maybe what we should say is the first quake came in was 6.0, and the second quake that came in on registered 5.0 on the Richter scale. So they're two large quakes and a lot of people injured. This was first count, 21 killed and 200 seriously injured. But, of course, there's going to be more after they get into the rubble. Now, the purpose for me bringing this up is not to talk about news that is disturbing, but as light workers, we can help the situation. And so what we're going to do, if you're willing to participate in what I would call work for Mother Earth, for doing planetary service, if you would join me in this, this could be very powerful. And what I have been inspired to organize is some rays from three different individuals. First of all, Kuan Yin. If you are aware of Kuan Yin and have worked with her, you know that she is the mother of compassion. And so as the individual that works with compassion, she has a purple ray that we can use. Also, Mother Mary is another divine feminine attribute of the Mother Ray, and her ray, of course, is pink, and we will use the pink. And then the other individual who has given us great information on healing is Master Kasumi, who also works with some lavender, well, not quite the deep purple, but a healing ray along the lines of violet. And if you think of these three individuals who work with healing, we're going to call down their rays of healing. And what I would like for all of us who hear my voice is to think of yourself as part of a community. Yes, we're part of the BBS community because you're listening to my voice now. We're also part of a world community. We're also part of a lightworkers community. And if you think of yourself along those lines, think of all the people who are on the radio right now, and you have the mental ability to connect with them so that this energy that we are going to work with and send to Rwanda, we can send as a group, and it would be much more powerful. We truly are masters, you and I. We don't always recognize the fact that because we have a soul, because there is a part of the Creator that we carry within us, we are indeed masters, and we can call down healing. We have the right and the authority to call down healing, to call down forces healing, to work through the masters, and to send this as a group project to Rwanda. The purposes of this is going to be that the people who are working on this disaster will have the inspiration and the energy to find those who are trapped within any kind of rubble. that those who have food and water will be willing to share with their brothers and sisters who are caught up in this great tragedy. And so if you can do this however you feel so inclined. You might have a different thought than I, but I was thinking of sending these three light waves pretty much as an arrow. You can think of it as a pyramid. I put Mother Kuan Yin's healing in the front of the arrow and Mother Mary's and Master Kasumi's in the back. If you have other masters that you work with, which this is very possible, include your connection with that particular master. And what I am seeing now, I am seeing in my mind's eye each of you as like a tongue of white light. I can see you as a circular group. Matter of fact, you might even want to concentrate on this yourself. It would be a marvelous experience for you to see this energy transfer. We do this on the conference calls, and it helps to awaken your own consciousness to these things that we don't see with our eyes, but see with our mind and with our hearts. And so how I am seeing all of you, we've done this before in the past on the radio where we have done planetary work, and I see you as a group of these white light beings. I see you all connected, and I see the three waves of the violet flame and the pink flame of love of Mother Mary, and I also see Kuan Yin and her energy, and I send this as the leader of my energy bulk. You might, like I said, have your own masters that you work with. Call on them. And so as we all hold hands, you don't have to know, you don't even have to know where Rwanda is. It is in the Congo. It is in Africa. Just know in your heart that you want to help these people, and you have joined together, and we are all working as one. And so I see your heart's desire to intend to help those who are struggling and are less fortunate than us. And I see the energy gathering. It is as if this energy is growing. It started out as a mist of your thoughts and your heart's desire, and it is growing larger and larger. For myself, I see it in the shape of the arrow, or what you might consider a pyramidal shape. And as allow it to grow, allow your intent to grow to help these people, calling in your masters, your angels, to assist and source this light and love. And as this is gathering now, let it all move together. Let it find its way to the Congo. Let it find its way to perhaps those people who are in the midst of the death throes right now, that your light and love might help them to find the light, to walk into that next dimension. And there is much suffering right now from the relatives who have lost family members. And allow your love and Mother Mary's love to surround their hearts, to help them move through this tragedy that has struck a country that is so much in turmoil right now from other political instabilities, and now they have this extra tragedy to work from. I can see this energy now making its way towards this area that we have asked it to move towards. If you can see or feel or intuit any of this, call me here at the station. give us your impression of what you felt, what you saw, and I thank you. The number here is 877-876-5227. Know that there is never a desire to help someone that is not answered in some positive fashion. I can't say for now what child might have been saved, what person might have been fed through your intercession, but I know this, that your intercession works, and it works every time. If you're in Canada and you followed this process and you had seen some of the colors, seen some of the experiences, at least felt them, give us a call here. It is toll-free, 888-815-9756. So that was the news this morning, dear friends. And what I would like to suggest for your consideration is that any time that you hear news that is of what we might consider a negative state, we have this ability to send energy, to send healing to the situation. So when you hear news of people suffering, rather than just allow it to go through your consciousness and forget it, just take a moment and send your love, ask for the healing energies from the higher planes, and it is done, and so be it. When I got this news and was inspired to discuss this on the radio show today, I did a little bit of searching for some information on the internet. I haven't been to Africa, but I have been to the Middle East. I've been to Jordan. I've been to Israel. Around those surrounding areas, and I am very much aware of the fact that the Rift Valley runs through that area also. So we have what the scientists call the East Africa Rift Valley, which is where this particular earthquake has occurred, and that covers the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden. And what they tell us in the search that I've done is that these are segments of a triple junction, and three plate segments are moving away from one another. And so as the segments pull apart, the warm mantle material rises beneath the separating plates. And what they're telling us is eventually, if a segment continues to rift apart, it'll evolve into a spreading center. And the drop in pressure as the mantle rock rises causes a small fraction of the mantle to melt, producing magma that can rise and cool to form a new ocean floor. So you might have seen even on the internet pictures in the past where they are showing pictures of this, where the area, some of the land is pulling apart, and they believe that a new ocean crust is being formed. You know, we're here so far away from Africa, and we don't think of these things, that the Earth is very dynamic. It is constantly creating and tearing down, forming new structures. We are fortunate to have lived on a land, at least in our lifetime, where things seem rather stable. But when you look over the planet in general and you see these changes, there is a dynamic energy, like I said, building up, pulling apart, new ocean beds forming, and this is part of a process. Now, that is what is in the East. And if you're doing some research, this would be under what they call the Great Rift Valley. And as I said, part of it is in Africa, and the other part of it is in the Sinai Peninsula. The center of it is in the Dead Sea and the Jordan River Valley above it. And here was a little bit of information that I thought was fascinating. This Rift Valley is almost 4,000 miles in length. It runs from northern Syria to southwest Asia to central Mozambique in East Africa. And the Rift Valley itself varies from 30 to 100 kilometers in width and a few hundred to several thousand meters in depth. So we're talking about something huge here. And as we said, it is constantly moving. And periodically we hear of damage from earthquakes in that area through the Middle East. I'm looking here at the plates. We have the Indian plate, the African plate, and the Eurasian plate is what is, the Arabian plate is right next to the Eurasian plate. And so these three plates, the Indian, the African, and the Arabian, is the three plates that are pulling apart. Well, I was not very familiar with this before I looked this up, did a little bit of research, and I thought it was very fascinating because I sort of think of things being rather stable, and to see that there is such movement in our world with plates and earthquakes and volcanoes, I mean, it kind of gives us a little sense of what is happening in the world. Now, there is an interesting article that was published in the London Interdependent, and it's called The Complete Guide to the Rift Valley. And they talk about, the animals that are there, the different flowers that are there, the kind of geography that is there. And I found this so fascinating, the different lakes that have been formed, so that within this Great Rift Valley, there's the Sea of Galilee, also called Lake Tiberias, the Jordan River, the Red Sea, the Gulf of Aqaba, the Gulf of Aden, and then they get over into the African area. And some of the areas through the Rift area, we've only heard of these names. Deserts in Ethiopia, the Denakil, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, D-E-N-A-K-I-L, depression in Ethiopia. It's the lowest point on the planet. And then it reaches the snows of Mount Kilimanjaro, the highest peak in Africa. Imagine that, the lowest part in the world and the highest peak in Africa in a relatively close area. And so there's great variations of altitudes, weather systems, and many people travel just to vacation in that area. I had never thought of it as being a vacation spot myself, but I can understand why people would be interested in this, because in the African area, it's the prime safari country, and the diversity of the ecosystems there has remained unchanged for centuries. So there's wildlife-rich areas there through Kenya and Tanzania. You know, words that we probably have just heard in a travel brochure. all part of the risk area. And the mammals that are there. I found that whole area just positively fascinating when I started to read what was available. Give us a call at 877-876-5227. That's a local call in the U.S. if you're in Canada. And we have a local number there, too, 888-815-9756. Call us if you have an impression on the energy that we sent to the Congo. Call in if you have explored or experienced anything along the Rift Valley, either through the Sinai Peninsula or in the Congo. I have some friends that have been to Rwanda, sent some fascinating information about the gorillas that live there, how they had observed them. Nothing that we have even can fathom, watching the gorillas in the wild, and that is all part of that area in there also. When I was in the Sinai Peninsula, I did a lot of traveling over the deserts. Not in a caravan, not on a camel for sure. There's roads there now, and you get a driver, and they take you where you want to go. Just a fascinating country. I thought that it would all be desert, sands of a monotonous color, but it isn't true. Out in the desert, there's shrubs. True, they're not large and green like you're going to see in areas that have a great water supply, but the shrubbery and the flowers there in the desert are interesting. They're delicate in color, pale yellows, pale violets, very pale magentas. And when you look out over the land and you see this diversity of color, true, very pale, it seems to blend in with the sands. I was struck by the Creator and what creation was brought forth, even in a desert, which seems to be nothing but hills of sand and some rock. There were flowers in bloom, beautiful shrubbery. On this trip, we had some interesting experiences in Jordan. We went out in the desert, and because this is such a thermal active area, there are hot springs that come out of the mountains, and you come in off of the desert, which is so fascinating to think of the sand dunes and the rocks and going around what seems like small mountains to wind up in an area where you have this incredibly beautiful water coming up out of the ground, coming down mountains where you can sit there and on a ledge of a rock, do a little bit of swimming there, and what comes out of the mountains is this warm water heated by the interior of the planet. And it is so amazing to sit there and be in this water and have the desert around you. It is quite fascinating. A little interesting story that someone had shared with me when we were out in the desert. I was with a lady who remembered being with Abraham, moving through the desert, and she was responsible for some of preparing of the meals for the family. And how they did this cooking as they were traveling through the desert, as you can imagine, it was very hot, and the rocks themselves would become hot. And she said sometimes, if it was in the heat of the day, that they could stop and cook, they made like a wheat pancake and literally placed it on the rocks, and the rocks very slowly cooked the pancakes, and they didn't even have to build a fire. This is how they got their food. Then, or rather prepared their food. Then in the evening, when if they stopped and the sun was going down, it would cool off fast in the desert, they would have to build a fire, and they would cook on a rock, because they would find, like, large, flat rocks, but they would have to build a fire around it and reheat the rock. And it was really fascinating how she told me she remembered this event. She was a Cub Scout mother, and they were having this breakfast for the Cub Scouts, and she was helping to fix this breakfast, cooking pancakes. And the Cub Scouts were really hungry and kind of getting a little raucous and wanted the pancakes to come a little faster. And it was then that she kind of went into a deja vu period. In other words, gee, this sounds familiar. And she remembered Abraham and the family very hungry, anxious to have the pancakes. Of course, they didn't call them pancakes, but that, in essence, is what they were. And she could see herself cooking outside in the desert in this fashion. I found that such a fascinating story because, number one, we were out in the desert, and that was quite a remarkable thing. Another remarkable thing is in that area, they took us to the Well of Moses. And there is a story in the Bible where the people didn't have water, and Moses was commanded by God to, I'm not quite sure this detail, but I think take his staff and hit it on a rock, and water came forth. Fascinating enough, water is still coming forth out of Moses' well. You know, we hear these Bible stories, and sometimes it's hard to relate to them, but that well is still a water supply for the people of the area, which I think is quite remarkable. Now, the other thing that we can do today, we're not getting phone calls on the meditation or from people who have been in some area of the Rift Valley. If there is someone listening to my voice, we'll take a little different path. And you want some information from your Akashic record, or if you would like to have a connection with your guardian angel, we will be glad to assist you with that. I know there are people who perhaps want information from the Akashic Records, but they don't quite know how to formulate a question. If you call in and just tell me your area of concern, we can go to the records and get the information from you or for you. 877-876-5227. And behold, we are halfway through the radio show. If you want to share some information or you want something from your records, call soon. We'll be up there at the end of the show, and you'll just be thinking about starting to dial the number. This happens a lot of times. Getting back to the Rift Valley for just one moment, there was an article on NewScientist.com, and they were talking about the Rift Valley, the killer earthquakes that are there, the volcanic activity, and scientists believe that more than a million years ago, at least this scientist, Mark Maslin, said that that may have been the site for the making of modern humans. And perhaps you have heard about this, that in East Africa, they believe that it was the cradle of human evolution. And he believes that these two strands of activity, the violence of the earth changes there, being in the Rift Valley, and we're talking about this great tectonic history that was there, and the cradle of human evolution, that he believes these two strands of the past is interwoven. And he did a geological study, which is, after doing this study, he's inclined to think that this is the case. In other words, this violent activity, earth activity, had some significance to the evolution of the human being, which is an interesting thought. In other words, what it made me think of when I was reading it is that nothing is ever lost, is it? It seems like there is a reason and purpose behind everything. And the thought of environmental changes, the driving force behind the evolution of the modern human, is an interesting thought. And he's talking about natural selection within populations give rise to new species. He also knows that human evolution does not fit into that particular area. But there have been a lot of fossils of ancient modern humans coming out of those sites, especially around the eastern part of the East African Rift Valley and southern Africa. So there's history there where species appeared suddenly, followed by times of very little change. Then there are patterns that also show that there were many other groups of animals coming on the scene also. And so what he is saying is, he's proposing the idea that all species undergo spurts in evolutionary change. It's called, the theory's called punctuated equilibrium. And so it is suggested that these leaps in evolution comes about because of a need for the animals to adapt to changes in their environment. So what he's saying is these great changes in the earth itself, you might say, is the impetus for change in animal life and human life. Interesting thought. And of course, the kinds of fossils that they are finding in there covers a wide range of the development of the human physical. So that is on newscientist.com. That article is there. If you're interested in that, you might go through there, because there's a lot of information there. And he talks about 10 million years of human evolution. The Earth's climate's changed considerably. He calls it the golden area, up to 3 million years ago. So it's kind of hard for me to think of such timelines. So now what occurs to me is we have new changes that are occurring. We can see our weather changing its patterns. Perhaps ocean rising. We know that ice caps are melting. And so what effect are these changes going to have in the evolution of the human being and the evolution of animal species? It's an interesting thought. In other words, if these dramatic changes in the past was the impetus in our evolutionary cycle, is all of this happening, the changes happening now in the world, is all of that negative? Or is there a seed of some possibility there that physically there is going to be a new jump in the evolutionary chain? If you have a thought on this, give us a call, 877-876-5227. I think this is a time where our minds must expand to think outside of the box, so to speak. You know, so many times we take facts, we think we are contained within a box, and we have to come to a certain conclusion, but maybe not. So my question is, what do you think about this? Are the changes that are going on in the planet right now, whether it's sunspot activity, whether it is changes in the surface of the planet itself, weather, water, are these going to have changes in the evolutionary trail of the human being? That's kind of thinking out of the box, isn't it? Call in. Let me know what you think. Let's put some of your thoughts into the mix. When we look at Earth history, well, both from the point of view of the formation of the Earth itself, forming mountains, here we have three plates that we've identified presently as pulling apart from one another. We have other plates that are running into another plate and causing mountains to rise higher. We have hot spots, probably 12 of them around the planet, but certainly the one that is most familiar that we know about would be the hot spot that is in the Hawaiian Islands, where the plates move over the hot spot and new volcanoes are formed. And as the plate moves, finishes moving over the spot, we have volcanoes that are not active anymore. So the Earth is constantly changing in this dynamic, very alive picture that she shows us. So isn't it also likely that if this happened in the past and it changed human evolution, can the changes now change the current path of our own evolution? I sort of think that it is. I think the sunspot activity that is coming through the sun right now is changing what is happening on the Earth. And it is also changing our own DNA in the human body. We know that the planets on the outer rims of our solar system is going through very great dynamic changes. And we don't hear about this too much from the American scientists, but the Russian scientists, for certain, are doing a lot of research about this. If you want to hear about some of the changes that is occurring along the other planets in the solar system, Google a little search on it with Russian scientists, solar change, I don't want to use the name because I'm not sure of the spelling right now. I don't have it in front of me. But there's a couple well-known Russian scientists that are making a lot of headway with the reports that they are giving. Dmitrietov, and I'm not sure of the spelling, so don't hold me to it. But if you Google this, you will be amazed at what is going on in the other planets. You know, I'm not saying that we do not have a problem with the changes that are occurring on our planet. I'm not saying that at all, because there's room for a lot of changes in how humanity is living on this planet. But our planet Earth is not the only planet in the solar system that is going through some dynamic and dramatic changes. Why is this? I have to ask that question. Why is this? If global warming is happening here on this planet, Earth, why is these changes occurring on the other planets in our solar system? I find that particularly fascinating. What's going on here? If we're starting to notice the changes on Earth, and we call it global warming here, what is happening to our solar system? What's happening to what's causing the changes on the other planets also? Is there something coming through to our galaxy from outer space that we haven't considered? I would like to suggest that perhaps it is. Perhaps there is an unidentifiable energy that our scientists hasn't made note of yet. In the work that I have done with the Masters and with the Archangel Michael on the conference call, they're telling us that part of it is the Eye of Isis, which rotates throughout the entire cosmos. It makes a wide arc, and it takes a very long time because the cosmos is so large. They tell us that our galaxy here is a relatively young galaxy as far as the cosmos is concerned. And the last time the Eye of Isis was here, this particular planet was just in the stage of beginning to cool, that there was not humans living in form on the planet. So as we have mentioned a little bit earlier, that would have been a very long time by Earth history. And so it hasn't been documented the kind of energies that is coming to the planet through the Eye of Isis. We're further told that this energy that comes through the Eye of Isis, that this is the way that Source, or all there is in the center of the cosmos, can send their energies in a direct line to us. If the Eye of Isis is not there, Source sends its energies, yes, but it must go through a convoluted channel, through a lot of gateways to actually come here. So one of the advantages of the Eye of Isis is that this energy that comes from Source, that comes from the Creator of all, has a direct line to this part of the cosmos, to this planet Earth, just a speck in our galaxy. And it is at these times, whenever the Eye of Isis is present in a particular part of the cosmos, and Source's energy comes directly to that population, that is the time when there is a gigantic growth in spiritual evolution. And so I say to you who are out there listening to my voice, or who listen to this in the archives, we look around and we see a lot of negativity. It is difficult to overlook the fact that there are human beings killing human beings, that there is such uncontrollable hatred, that terrible things are going on among people. And there are things in our own country that we are not proud of, that there is deceit, that there is lying, that there is corporations who are taking advantage of our labors. And we look at these things and we say, how in the world are we moving along? How in the world are we moving towards this gigantic evolutionary movement towards perfection? And all I can say to you is think back a couple presidential elections. You know, if we look back to the time of Jack Kennedy, you never heard anything go on that could have been of a scandalous nature because it was hidden. There were things that went on that wasn't proper, you might say, or honorable, but it never, we didn't know about it. Now we're starting to know about everything because nothing is remaining hidden. And I would like to propose that these events are not staying hidden because they are being revealed to us to bring forth for us to change, to bring forth for us to clear. And so I think we are on a path of great advancement, not only inside the human frame, because we have cells that are turning to crystalline. We know that. I would like to invite you to go to my website at carolynevers.com. Look at the conference calls. If you want to hear the latest conference call that we did with Yeshua, send me your email. I'll send you the link. Because what we are seeing developing here is that the masters are working with us, helping us to become aware of seeing them in the next dimension, of communicating with them directly, of putting us in touch with our angels, with the masters who look over us. Nowhere in history has these events been available to us. We don't have to listen to some dogma. We can make our own choice because we can develop our own senses to touch what we weren't able to touch before, to open up the heart, to open up the other centers so that we can see their colors, hear their messages, intuit their energy. If you do not touch their energy or feel their energy, you will feel their love. And so I guess you might say what I am giving forth is a message of hope. The dark has surrounded us for so long. All we need do is look at a little bit of history in the past, look around on this planet today, and there has been much dark desperation. But it is changing. We're bringing in the light. We are making headway. We are uncovering those things that have remained hidden for so long, with the opportunity to clear them, to clear our physical bodies of the past issues from past lifetimes, the fear, the control, the hatred, the things that need to be purged from the body. They are the makers of disease. They are the makers of a lack of prosperity in our lives, a lack of creation in our lives. These are things that are coming forth to be changed out of our DNA, from our genetic lines, from our parents that go beyond our parents. And on the two shows that we have on Wednesdays, Cosmic Connections, and the other show that we have every other Saturday, The Messenger, you can call into those shows and have these events cleared from your life. Well, how do you know you have an event that needs to be cleared from your life? Well, you might have a pain someplace. You might have a rash someplace. You might have a difficulty in either colds that keep coming back, sinus problems that keep coming back, high blood pressure that you can't seem to clear from the physical, I would like to propose that you see a doctor for these things, but also consider the possibility that they are spirit-related, that they are events coming forth in your life to be cleared. So see the doctor, but also explore the fact that this might be negative thinking from a past lifetime that needs to be cleared, and it can be. And as you think over this, call us on a Wednesday or on our show every other Saturday. We just finished our show this last Saturday with Charlene McNeil. So 2 weeks for that Saturday show and every week for the Wednesday show. Call us in. The healing possibilities are, in my point of view, quite remarkable. And Charlene and Caroline would both tell you they are not doing this. They simply are the witness that God does this. And they work in the quantum field, and they watch God as God does the clearing, and they report back as to what God did. This is how the work is done. So consider calling on those days. Also, I'm starting a new program that I think is positively exciting. And those on the other side have volunteered to come and allow me to interview them. Imagine, now Yeshua has volunteered to be the first. Imagine sitting across a desk. You're on one side, Yeshua is on the other side, and he is willing to answer any question that you send his way. What would you ask him? Check it out. Yeshua will be for February. Pastor Kasumi is coming in March. Mother Mary is coming in April. And we will have others besides masters, besides archangels, those people who have crossed over. Some of them have already come forth and gave their story in Chaos Before Creation. People like Mother Teresa, like Elvis, like Marilyn Monroe, some of the great entertainers of the day. We will ask and see which ones are available. If you have a request to have us interview one of them, as long as they are willing, we will do that too. And so, my friends, this is Carolyn Evers. We are ready to sign off. I would like to thank you for being there listening. I do wish you would have called in. I think your input to this would have been quite remarkable. I know the information that we have brought today is interesting, and I'm glad that you were there listening. The next time, call in. We'll be back on Wednesday. Your input is most desirable. We are holding the light together for this planet and for each one of us. Blessings to all of you. Until the next time, this is Carolyn Evers. Goodbye for now.